Well, a pleasant good afternoon to everybody. What do the television shows Friends, The Office, and SpongeBob SquarePants have in common? Friends, The Office, and SpongeBob SquarePants. Well, one thing they have in common is they're not often used in the introduction for a message. Another thing that they have in common is they're all television shows on the channel called Nick at Night. But the real question I'd like to start with is, who was the original Nick at Night? Turn with me, please, to John chapter 3 and verse 1. I'd like to introduce you to the original Nick at Night, or kind of Nick at Night. And what I'd like to do is to share some information about Nicodemus, who appears three times in the New Testament. Each of these times are in the book of John, and each of these times bring out a unique quality or characteristic about Nicodemus, and that's what I'd like to share today. So, John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night." Thus, Nick at Night. The first time I heard him refer to that, or at least recently, was Mr. Chuck Smith gave a Bible study a few years ago at a feast I just found fascinating. And that's what led to digging into this topic a little bit further. But so for point number one, the original Nick at Night, Nicodemus, was inquisitive. And before I get into more details about how I believe he was inquisitive that's highlighted here in chapter 3, I'd like to share a little bit more about who Nicodemus was. So far we know that he was a man, we know that he was a Pharisee, and we know that he was a ruler of the Jews. The ruler of the Jews means he was a part of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was 71 leaders, combinations of Pharisees and Sadducees primarily, at that time. There's no complete list of the 71 members of the Sanhedrin at that time. 42 of the 71 are known. Of those 42 that are known, there's only one Nicodemus. His name is Nicodemus ben Gurion. Ben-Gurion, and sometimes doing research, it's either G-O or G-U, same gentleman. The Zondervan Encyclopedia says that he was a brother, maybe a half-brother, to the historian Josephus. He was a very wealthy member of the Sanhedrin. He's been identified as some who came to Jesus by night. He did become a disciple of Jesus Christ, baptized by Peter and John. He was then removed from the Sanhedrin after he was baptized, driven from Jerusalem, and his friend, a gentleman named Gamaliel, another Pharisee, another member of the Sanhedrin, put him up in his country house, and that's where he then passed away. The name Ben-Gurion might come to mind for a couple things maybe more recently. There was a gentleman about 100 years ago named David Gruen, born in Poland. He wanted to Hebraicize his name, so he changed his name to Ben-Gurion, that became the first prime minister of modern Israel. So let's go back to the Bible. So we know that Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? Most people think it was because he was afraid or just didn't want it to be known that he was going to go see Jesus Christ to visit with him because he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Could be a few other reasons, but that's most likely, I would think. It says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." So my first point is that he's inquisitive, but this starting, it's not a question, but it's interesting that what happens is Christ responds in verse 3, Jesus answered. So maybe this first part is a question, we don't know, let's say that it's not. But anyway, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." One other part of the background here, when I used to read this, and I know it's completely out of context, I used to think of the old Western movies that would have like the old towns and they'd have like the ramshackle houses and then like a really narrow alley and it would be dark and somebody would run in through a side door and there'd be a lantern, it would be all dark. And that was kind of how I pictured this. Of course, it wasn't in the old West, but that was like the mental image. That was wrong. Did you know that houses in Jerusalem are flat? If you look at the prior chapter, this was at the time of the Passover. Coming to Jerusalem, most likely this was on the rooftop. There's stairs outside many of the houses that would go to the rooftop. It was warm. It didn't rain that much. So where like today a big group comes in and we say, okay, kids to the basement. Back then it would be visitors come in, visitors to the rooftop. And that most likely is where this took place at that time. So we continue on. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born? In verse 4, so here's a question. When he is old, can he enter a second time? Jesus answered. Come back to verse 9. Here's another question. So Nicodemus asked a question now, then he asked another question in verse 9. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? It's an interesting part here also that the word the teacher of Israel isn't just saying, are you a teacher of Israel, or do you know something about what you're talking about? This is also translated or could be translated, are you the well-known teacher of Israel? Are you the rabbi? Are you the master teacher? So Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a master teacher. He came back with several questions. A lot of times when people get really smart or really powerful, they don't ask as many questions. But here is Nicodemus asking a question. Jesus Christ comes back, are you the teacher of Israel? A couple of other things to highlight in this chapter 3. So as you read it, and certainly the Gospels will become very heavily used over the next few weeks. As you read this, consider this. John 3:16, where was this verse mentioned? This was Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, potentially on a rooftop in Jerusalem with a sunny night. Maybe there's some, or sorry, a sunny night, a moonlit night. It's a full moon at that time with stars in the sky. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then continue on down to verse 19. There's a lot of references now to light and darkness. Light and darkness in this conversation would have had a lot more meaning if it was at night under the full moon. I know my wife loves lights. We were engaged at Griffith Observatory overlooking Los Angeles with all of the shining lights. So there's no doubt Jerusalem was not lit up like LA at night. But Jerusalem at night probably had some lights as a part of also the full moon at that point. So the first point about learning more about Nicodemus, he was inquisitive. He asked at least a couple of questions in this chapter. He also was the master teacher, and that there's more context now for John chapter 3. So now let's move to the second time where Nicodemus is mentioned in the New Testament. By the way, all of these mentions are only in the book of John. Could be a couple of different reasons for that, but it's interesting that he never is mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. John chapter 7 is where we'll pick up the story again with the next Nicodemus. John chapter 7, the next mention of Nicodemus, and let's start with verse 32. So it says the Pharisees. Hey, we know who a Pharisee is, right? At least one is Nicodemus. Another one's Gamaliel that we've mentioned. We'll talk about a couple more people here. But the Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him, meaning Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Chief priests would be referring to the Sadducees, sent officers then to take him. So this in 32, verse 32, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who rarely agreed on many things, they completely agreed on this. You officers need to go arrest Jesus Christ. Then what happens in verse 45? Then the officers come back to, who did they come back to? The chief priests and the Pharisees. That's the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who then said to him, hey, you're back here. We told you to go get Jesus Christ and arrest him. Where is he? The answer was, the officers answered, nobody has ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered and said, are you also deceived? Or are you also crazy? We told you to go arrest him. You're saying nobody's ever spoke like this man, and that's why you didn't bring him back? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? So they're looking around themselves. The Sanhedrin, parts of the Sanhedrin here for sure, the Sadducees, the Pharisees are looking around themselves saying, do you think any of us believe in him? But the crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Now what happens? Nicodemus, verse 50. Nicodemus, and again, it's reminding us, he's the one, that guy back in chapter 3 that came by night, that's him, he was being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? So for point number 2, Nicodemus was fair. He's asking the question, can our law judge a man before it hears? And we've got to give him a chance. He should have a chance to speak and then also have witnesses. The answer back from the group had nothing to do with his question about should we be fair. The answer back was, are you also from Galilee? Search and look. No prophet's arisen out of Galilee. Then that's how it ends. So we don't know what else happened, but let's have a little bit more context for this kind of back and forth with the Pharisees and Sadducees. If you would think in your mind, who is a Sadducee? Who is a Pharisee? What word or word associations would come to mind? The easy one, I think, for many of us would be the word sad, for Sadducees, and many of us have heard that because they didn't understand that there was a resurrection, that that's why they're sad, and that's why you could say Sadducee, and we all understand that. But besides that one word association, I have to admit, I didn't have any single word that would come to mind for either of them, but I'd like to just suggest a single additional word for a Sadducee, a single word for a Pharisee, and then as we read through this through the days and weeks ahead, hopefully this will help more things come to life. Did you know that a Sadducee was born sad? Sadducee didn't choose to be sad. They were born sad. So the word I'd like to associate is born. And what I mean by this, a Sadducee became a Sadducee primarily because of their heredity. They were born a Sadducee because dad was a Sadducee. It was typically the priestly ruling line or the very wealthy portion of society. The Hebrew word refers to righteous, and it comes from the word Zadok, who was a priest back in David's time, and that there were four primary priestly families that then many of the Sadducees then came from. Josephus on page 423 states Annas, and Annas is one of the primary characters in the book of John. Annas was the most fortunate man. Himself and five of his sons were high priests. Also, his son-in-law was Caiaphas, another interesting fellow. That then meant, if you look at the tradition of high priest, for the 100 years before the temple was destroyed, 50 of those 100 years, the chief priests were Annas and direct members of his family and his son-in-law. So trivia question, where was Christ first taken when he was arrested? To Annas. Then he went to Caiaphas, who was the reigning high priest at that year, and Acts 4 talks a little bit more about Annas, Caiaphas, and the family of the high priest. So as far as the Sadducees, the word association is they were born sad. The word for Pharisee, the word I'd like to suggest, is it's a choice. A person chose to become a Pharisee. Barclay talks or shares that in the Barclay commentary. There were never more than 6,000 Pharisees. They took a pledge in front of three witnesses that they would spend all of their lives observing every detail of the law, including the oral traditions. Who are the Pharisees that we know? We've already met Nicodemus and Gamaliel. We've talked about Joseph of Arimathea is going to come up as another Pharisee. But they tried to capture and live both the law of Moses and the tradition. So this includes the ceremonial washings. What do you mean you're not washing above your elbow before you sit down for any meal? Did you know that a Pharisee was hungry every Thursday and every Monday? They fasted twice a week. Every Thursday is when they thought Moses went up to Mount Sinai. Every Monday was when he thought they came back down from Mount Sinai. So back then, up to 6,000 people every Thursday and every Monday were hungry in that society. But Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, was then a minority within the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a minority in comparison for power within the Sanhedrin. So with that as a background, people were born Sadducees, born into that priestly side, or they chose to become a Pharisee. Let's reread this. John chapter 7, verse 32, the Pharisees heard the murmuring. The Pharisees and the chief priests, the Sadducees, told the officers to go take him. Verse 45, the officers came back to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and said, "Why have you not brought him?" And then finally, Nicodemus in verse 50 speaks up. So in the midst of the Sanhedrin, in the midst of at least a portion of these Sadducees and Pharisees, Nicodemus is being fair and wanting to be fair, saying, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him?" Point number three, turn to John chapter 19, verse 39, please. 19, verse 39, the third and final mention of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was generous. John chapter 19, verse 39. Chandler wrote that Nicodemus Ben-Gurion was one of three eminent men in Jerusalem, each of whom could have supported the entire city for 10 years by themselves. In verse 38, it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, another Pharisee, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, so he was scared for fear of the Jews, meaning the Sanhedrin primarily, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. That's what's mentioned in each of the other Gospels. John adds this extra tidbit. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And then Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night. Here's Nick at night again. Every time Nicodemus is mentioned, he came at night. So at some point, I'm thinking Nicodemus might say, could I have like a different descriptor about me? Or is there anything else we can share? But he came at night and bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. couple of items on myrrh and aloe. So myrrh was one of the gifts for a ruler. If you go back to Matthew 2, what were the gifts that the shepherds, wise men brought? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's resin from a small thorny tree. Aloe is not aloe vera. Aloe is a very odoriferous, meaning a very strong-smelling tree. And chips of aloe were worth their weight in gold. Myrrh and aloe would be pulverized together, placed in the linen as a sign of respect. So it's not embalming, it's perfuming a body. Tradition has it that when Stephen was killed in Acts 7, Gamaliel and Nicodemus buried him outside Jerusalem and most likely would have brought maybe the same mixture. 100 pounds was a lot, though. Did you know that typically 100 pounds would then bury 200 people, meaning that if you wanted to have this as a sign of respect, it would be about a half a pound that would be brought. Half a pound would be half of a can of soup. So if you kind of put into perspective what Nicodemus did, instead of just half a can of soup or maybe a can of soup worth of myrrh and aloe, he brought 100 pounds, almost 1 to 200 cans of soup, depending on the weight, as a part of this effort. So Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds, took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. So to wrap things up, as you read through the book of John over the next few days and weeks ahead, hopefully there's more color and more excitement and interest around Nicodemus, and more understanding of who he was, that he was a man, he was a Pharisee, he was a master teacher, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he was also inquisitive, fair, and generous.